Okay. Accusations audit. This, folks, is a game changer. This is the Jedi mind trick of the Black Swan Group. It is amazing. Okay, so what you're doing when you use an accusations audit is you're proactively addressing those negative emotions. So anything that the person on the other side of the table could think about you that is possibly negative, you're going to put it out there first. Okay. Whether it's fair or unfair, whether it's true or not, it doesn't matter. If they could possibly be thinking that about you, then you are going to tell them up front, you know, they're thinking that. Because then what that does is it kind of takes the power away from them to use that against you later on in the conversation, because you've already pointed it out. They don't have to point it out, or they're not going to use it against you in any way because you've already thrown it out there. All right. It also addresses anything you might want to deny. So instead of saying, I don't want you to think I'm being mean, but because when you hear that from somebody, what's the first thing that comes to your mind? They're about to be mean. So you don't want to say that. You're denying it right up front. So this, instead of saying that, you're going to say, you may think I'm being mean. Because then you're not saying, I don't want you to think I'm being mean, because that's basically screwing it up. But if you say, you're going to think I'm being mean, you're basically telling them what they're going to think. And they're going, oh, okay. Once again, I said before, it's a preemptive label. Okay. But you're basically kind of labeling yourself because you're putting all of your own negatives out there. You may, you might, you probably is how it's set up. And don't freak out because you're saying all these negative things about yourself. It doesn't mean that if the negative is not already thought by them that you're going to introduce it. That's not how it works. Okay. If they're not already thinking it, you're not going to plant the thought in their head. That's not how it works. This stuff is magic, all right? Say you're supposed to pick up something on the way home and you forget to get it. And so you get home and your spouse says, hey, did you get the milk? And you're like, oh, and you're thinking in your head, oh, shit, I forgot the milk. But you're going to say, oh my gosh, you're going to be so mad at me. You're just going to think I'm the most irresponsible person. And you're going to say, I forgot the milk. Well, you already just told them what they were going to think. So you took the ammunition out of their, your wind out of their sails. They're not going to use that against you now because you already told them that they know. And they're going to go, oh, and they might be disappointed, but they're not going to be like, what's wrong with you? I can't believe you forgot the milk. They're not going to be upset because you already pointed out the negative. Okay. Dave, anything you want to say about that before we.
I think you covered it. Awesome. Okay.
So what do accusations audits do? They recognize those negatives up front. They keep somebody from using that against you later in the conversation. They also clear that person's mind because you're telling them all the negative things you already know that they think, so they can actually let go of it at that point because you've already pointed it out. So now they're not focused on that anymore. Because of that, it builds trust very quickly because you are demonstrating to the other side how self-aware you are. You know that there are negative things and you are being nice enough to point it out for the other side and mitigate it from their brain. All right. They think, wow, okay. Well, she knows that I'm thinking that or feeling that. So they're not going to think of you as being sneaky or trying to hide something because you're literally pointing out all the negatives at the beginning of the conversation. It also helps regulate the other side's expectations. When you give someone an accusations audit, whatever you're saying to them, whatever you're getting ready to introduce to them, they automatically think worst case scenario. You're going to be so mad at me. And they're going, oh my God, what did you do? Worst case scenario is coming to mind. You know, you wrecked the car or you did something horrible and I'm going to have to be worried about this. And then when you say, I forgot the milk, they're going to go, oh, shoo, thought you're going to tell me you wrecked the car or something. So it raises the expectation, sends their mind to worst case scenario. And then when you say what it really is, and it's so much better than where their mind went, it actually calms them down. They're actually like relieved. Because then they don't have to worry about the fact that you wrecked the car, because that's where their thought pattern went, is that, oh my gosh, I'm gonna pay thousands of dollars to get the car fixed. And you're like, I forgot the milk. And then they're like, oh, okay. That's okay. I can deal with that. Why? I kind of said some of this already. It does demonstrate awareness, your awareness. It also demonstrates awareness of the other side because you're aware that they have negative feelings and you're aware of their negative feelings. So their thought is, well, they understand me so well. They knew I was going to think that bad thing about them. gives you freedom to say anything without fear of a negative reaction. Folks, this works. And I don't know where Kayla is. I don't see her face anymore. But when you can use an accusations audit on Chris Voss and it works, it can work on anyone. The guy wrote the book, for God's sake, and he responds to accusations audits. So when you can use an audit on the man and it works, you know you can use it anytime. Whenever you have to deliver bad news, whenever you're going to be able to ask something that you don't know you're going to be able to get from somebody, you want to point out all the negatives first about why they might not want to give it to you. And then you're going to ask for it in a very, you know, like, can I have this, you know, and then they're going to be like, oh, okay. You basically manipulate the other side. I mean, seriously, this is probably my favorite skill, because no matter what you've done, you can audit it. And then you're going to give the information. They've already gone to worst case scenario. And then boom, when you put it out there, like, wow, okay, it wasn't as bad as I expected. You can subvert those preconceived notions. If you're afraid someone is going to think you're too assertive, put that out there. Like, you're going to think I'm the biggest bitch. And you know what? The more colorful you are with the audits, the higher you raise those expectations for that bad news. And then the further they fall when they realize that's not what they're going to get is the bad news. Okay. So you can label that away. If you're somebody who you feel you may be too emotional at times over certain things, you can put that out there too. And you can say, you know, you may think that I'm just too sensitive about this. It helps tame that label of them calling you too emotional. I don't know how many of you at some point in your life have been referred to as emotional, or it must be that time of the month and you just want to punch somebody, right? I use that as an audit. You may think it's that time of the month for me. In other words, I'm about to come at you with some claws because it may be that time of the month for me and that's how you're going to feel. So I use that as my audit. And then they're like, ooh, okay, fear. Yikes, what's going to happen here? They're bracing for it. And then you're going to say, yeah, I need $50 from you for whatever. And they're like, oh, you know, shoo, thank goodness. You raise it up and then pull it right back down. And they're like, oh no, oh no, oh no. Ah, phew, relief. Okay. So use that audit. It does help to tame those labels, especially any label you're afraid you're going to get. You put it out there first in an audit and it's going to go away. So if you're somebody who has been accused in the past of being bitchy or assertive, you can come right out and say, this may come across as extremely assertive. You may think that I am just the pushiest person you've ever met. You put all that out there. That way they can't use it against you. You're going to mitigate that negative and it's going to get rid of those labels for you. It also softens that conversation. Davey, I'm going to let you take this one because the accommodating personality, how it plays into that accommodating personality, you're better at explaining that than I am.
So essentially, a lot of times, right, people expect women to be softer. That's why we get that bitch label. It's like, we're not being meaner than other people. It's just that everyone's expecting you to, well, do exactly what I say and never say no and be a pushover or whatever, right? So what's nice about this is that you are, you're kind of playing into some of those positive things that someone might be assuming. So someone might be assuming that, oh, because you're female, you might care more about people. You might be better at understanding. You might be better at communicating. So you're kind of playing into these positive stereotypes, essentially. And then when that does happen, then you're still able to, essentially, you're still able to get what you're looking for, right? It's, again, just to reiterate, we're not doing this because they're expecting this, right? But we're doing it because this is going to be a better outcome in the end. And Sandy, there is a question about this. Okay. Of is there a risk that you're going to put, what if they weren't thinking that? Then do you risk putting that thought in someone's mind?
No, you cannot plant a negative. And I'm going to give you the best example that I have coming from the world that Marcella and I came from. If you're dealing with someone who is barricaded inside a residence and you're talking with them and then within the first 2 minutes of the conversation, you realize that they're suicidal. If you keep talking to them for 3 hours and you never address that elephant in the room that they're feeling suicidal, it's not going to disappear. Okay, and you're not going to get anywhere, and you're going to be avoiding the situation. But if you put out there, you hear what you believe is some kind of suicidal ideation. So you say, it seems like you may be thinking about hurting yourself today. If they're not, they're not going to say, oh, you know what? I wasn't, but now I am. That's not how it works. Okay, you don't plant that negative. If you say, seems like you're thinking about hurting yourself today, and they go silent, then you realize, ooh, yep, hit the nail on the head with that one. Then you've pointed out the elephant in the room, and the elephant stops trampling everything and ruining the conversation, because now you can move forward with what the real issue is anyway. Okay. But if they're not thinking that, they're not going to all of a sudden now want to kill themselves because that's what you said. That's not how it works. Okay. They're just going to be like, no, I wasn't. They'll actually correct you, because remember, the desire to correct is irresistible. People can't wait to tell you how stupid you are and fix what you said. So if you're not right about whatever you say, they're going to tell you you're not right. It's okay.
Yeah. People love correcting. Yeah. There's this example. Aaron and Jessica just put forward an example of, if you're with your boss, can you say something like, you may think I don't deserve this job, or that I haven't worked hard enough to be in this role.
Make it two separate audits. And I would use feel for this, because it's not going to be what they think or not. It's going to be that they feel. You may feel like I don't deserve this job. And what was the next one?
And that I haven't worked hard enough to be in this role.
Okay. So you're going to make it two different audits. You may also think, you can use think here, that I haven't worked hard enough to be in this role. Remember, don't justify it. Don't explain it. Just let it sit there.
And sorry, I said, if you're negotiating with your boss and they're saying that they are the boss talking to who's under them, but I think it's the same idea. The same idea or no?
Well, say it to me again. My brain rattled for a second.
So you're the boss, mm-hmm. and you say, you may think I don't deserve to be.
Okay. I see what you're saying. Yeah. Be a little more explicit with it. You may feel like I don't deserve to be in the supervisory position. I mean, just very bluntly put it out there. And I don't remember the second one again.
I haven't worked hard enough to be in this role. No.
You may also feel like I didn't work hard enough or as hard as I needed to be in this role. So yeah, anything you can say that people might be thinking that's negative, and you put it out there first, it's going to mitigate it. So whatever you think that they're thinking, whatever meeting you're going into, whoever you're dealing with, whatever negative thoughts you know they have before you walk in the room, the first thing you say when you walk in the room is that accusations audit, to just put all the negatives out of the way. Then it's much, much easier for you to just get down to business at that point. And you know that you've already mitigated those negatives, so you can move on.